G'day everyone, welcome to The Journey this week. It's the fifth Sunday of Easter. My name's Max Norden and this week I'm back in the chair for Jude Hennessy. Jude's having a huge week. In fact, so busy that we told him, look, just pack the swag, no need to come home every night, because he's fronting up to two major events at the Mount Carmel Retreat Centre at Varaville in southwestern Sydney. Jude's been there all week for the CRESS conference. That's for Catholic religious educators in state schools. And then he's come straight out of that into the Men Alive gathering that's also at Mount Carmel Retreat Centre this weekend. In fact, he's so busy in this last week that he's actually coming back to work so he can have a holiday. In the meantime, I'm so pleased that you've been able to join me this week for The Journey. And this week, we've got the theme of love that's running through the show. You're going to be hearing from Father Dave Callahan from the Missionaries of God's Love. Father Dave says, love demands a response. Whenever we do something in love for another person, whatever it is, it always demands that the other person respond in some way. More about that when we get to Father Dave's segment a little later in the show. Hugh Warmenhoven from Alpha Australia is along with more on why and how Alpha is the new paradigm for evangelising. Unlike the old days when faith was imposed, this new paradigm proposes the three great questions of faith, life and meaning. Where do you belong? What do you believe? And who do you want to become? And Hugh's going to break that open for us as well. Trish McCarthy's here with a milk and honey segment. This week, Trish has been thinking about those amusement park mirrors and how they give you a distorted image as you look into them. She's going to give us a tip on how to get the true image of self in your daily life. Mother Hilda, in her wisdom from the Abbey Spot, tells how the great Vietnamese cardinal, Cardinal Francis Xavier Nguyen Van Tran, used his secret weapon of agape love to confound his captors. And Mother Hilda tells us that the cardinal's attitude and behaviour while he was imprisoned is a great instruction for us, no matter how badly some people may want to treat us. And as we always do, let's commence the show with this week's gospel. It's John chapter 13, verses 31 to 33a and 34 35. You know, the story of the Son of Man being glorified and then Jesus' command to love one another. Our gospel reflections from Father John Paul Escalin from Parramatta Diocese and made available to us by Mass for You at Home and the Australian Catholic Bishops Conference and Network 10. And we thank them very much for making that available to us. Father John Paul says, to love like Jesus is transformative love. It changes us to be the better version of ourselves that God wants us to be. I'll proclaim the gospel for you in just a moment. Then we'll hear from Father John Paul, as well as some music from Wren Collective and one of their Easter tracks, Your Name is Power. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Max Norden, sitting in this week for Jude Hennessy. Let's get into it. I'm so glad that you've joined us on The Journey. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. When Judas had gone, Jesus said, now has the Son of Man been glorified, and in him God has been glorified. If God has been glorified in him, God will in turn glorify him in himself, and will glorify him very soon. My little children, I shall not be with you much longer. I give you a new commandment. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must love one another. By this love you have for one another, everyone will know that you are my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. And now the Gospel reflection with Father John Paul Escalin.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Happy Easter, everyone. A local parish priest had made some formation sessions for married couples on the sacrament of marriage. And at the end of the formation sessions, he was giving wooden crosses to each married couple. And he told them, you have to put this wooden cross in the room where you fight the most. And you will be reminded of that commandment of Jesus to love one another. And for sure, you would not argue as much. And then a woman came to the priest. She said, Father, I think you have to give me 5 wooden crosses. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called to love one another, but we know well, in the deepest in our hearts, that sometimes it is so difficult to love. Even those people who are close to us, our loved ones, because sometimes they are the ones who betray us. They are the ones who hurt us. But Jesus reminds us, tells us to love one another as a sign that we are indeed disciples of Jesus. We are called to love the way Jesus loved us. And we know that this love is not about an emotional love, but it is an agape. The love of God is unconditional. He loves us even though we are sinners. But this love as well is a merciful love. He forgives us. He's searching for us and reaching out to us to show mercy. And finally, this love of God is a transformative love. A love that calls us for transformation in our life, to change, to be the better version that God wants us to be. May we always be reminded of this important and non-negotiable commandment of God, to love one another as He has loved us.
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
Darkness. You're the only right among the wrong. You're the only hope among the chaos. You are the voice that calls me on, louder than every lie, my sword in every fight. The truth will chase away the night. Your name is power over darkness, freedom for the captives, mercy for the broken and the hopeless. Your name is faithful in the battle, glory in the struggle, mighty, it won't let us down or fail us. Your name is power.
See you.
listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
Now, Wisdom from the Abbey with Mother Hilda.
There was a famous cardinal in Vietnam. His name was Francis Xavier Nguyen. When Saigon fell to the forces from the north, he, along with many others, was imprisoned and tortured. A number of those years were spent in solitary confinement. He was so maltreated that when he was finally released and came to Australia to visit his parents, they didn't recognise him. His captors found many ways to make life intolerable. They would, for instance, leave a single light globe glaring for days on end, so he couldn't tell where night ended and day began. They would starve him for days too, then give him a big meal of salted fish, which of course he would make him thirsty, but then they wouldn't give him any water to drink. Sometimes they would give him some water, and he would drink the lot naturally. But of course, then he would need to relieve himself, and there was no facility in his cell for that. So he would spoil his clothes and have to sit in it until the cell was opened. They'd then take him out into the quadrangle, bring all the other prisoners out to see him, and then get a woman guard to strip him and hose him down. Then they'd go and hose out his cell, all the time calling out insults on a great man who was so disgusting that he ended up like this. At first, it really used to get him down. But Cardinal Nguyen had a secret weapon, his life of prayer. He knew the Gospels almost by heart, and he knew a lot of Paul's letters too. And throughout his time in jail, he put time aside to reflect, to pray. His whole time was punctuated by prayer. It made a difference. When the sort of treatment I've just described was meted out to him, he began to take on a new attitude. He would apologise for causing them so much trouble. He began to replace the things he wanted to say with words like, "I am so sorry." He began to look at his captors with the eyes of love, and bit by bit, he wore them down. It wasn't make-believe love, it was real, with its firm foundation in the love of Christ. In fact, one of his prayers was this: "Jesus, I will not wait, I will fill the present moment with love." There's a message here for you and me, and I'm sure you can hear it. It doesn't really matter how badly we're treated, but it does matter what we do with it. And to know what to do with it, we simply need to be people who pray. Then we too will find ourselves filling the present moment, or perhaps somebody's rudeness to us, with a pleasant smile and a ready forgiveness. Or perhaps the present moment of our own rudeness to another, with a sincere apology. And thereby, we too will fill the present moment with love.
Hope you enjoyed that from Mother Hilda Scott. Wisdom from the Abbey is her segment. And this week, Mother Hilda reflected on the power of love that Cardinal Francis Xavier Nguyen showed to his captors, even though 9 of those 13 years he spent in jail were in solitary confinement. Mother Hilda says, the message for us is, it doesn't matter how we're treated. It's what we do with and about it that really matters, how we respond with the love of Jesus when we're treated unfairly. Thank you, Mother Hilda, for that great advice. Coming up now, the Easter music continues with Keith and Kristen Getty, Come People of the Risen King. And after the break, Trish McCarthy's going to tell us about looking into the mirror and seeing our real self. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Max Norton, sitting in this week for Jude Hennessy, while Jude's away at the CRESS conference and then the Men Alive weekend at Mount Carmel Retreat Centre at Varaville. Thanks for joining us on the journey.
Together on the journey, faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
Mercy is a song singing to my heart, telling me it's okay, come just as you are. I never heard a melody like the one that's singing over me, and I just wanna sing along, 'cause mercy is a song and freedom is a choir, swaying back and forth, shining in the shadow of a stained glass Sunday morning, shouting hallelujah, yesterday is gone. Our freedom is a choir and mercy is a song. Singing, oh, you've done, you don't deserve to be free, but I can look him in the eye and say this time you're wrong, 'cause guilty is a lie, oh, but mercy is a song. Promise in the sky that one day we'll be singing with those angels up on high, and that old familiar melody like we've known it all along. Our heaven is a mansion and mercy is a song. Heaven is a mansion and mercy is a song.
Now it's time for Milk and Honey with Trish McCarthy.
My school motto was to live by the truth, and it always reminded me to seek truth in my life. Have you ever been to a fun park like Luna Park and engaged with the various mirrors? They bend and twist and manipulate your reflection, giving you a distorted view of yourself, which at times is quite amusing. It's amusing partly because we know the truth of our physique and how far from reality these mirrored images are. However, in our internal life, the people in our life are the ones who reflect back to us who we are. Particularly influential are their comments, affirmations, criticisms, acceptance and rejection. Unfortunately, we don't always find their reflections amusing because we question and doubt our own goodness, beauty and strength. If we want to know the truth about who we are, we must start with Christ, created in the image and likeness of God, loved unconditionally, and destined as sons and daughters of the King. With this as a starting point, we must choose our mirrors, those whom we allow to influence us, carefully and with discernment. The mirror we may be taking our cue from may well in fact be warped, bent, or covered in residue, which ultimately leads to a distorted reflection of our true self. Your job is not to fix those mirrors, but simply to choose wisely and always seek truth in your life.
Thanks so much to Trish McCarthy for her story about how we can see a true reflection of ourselves. Trish says to avoid getting a warped or bent image being mirrored back to us, we should choose wisely who we seek comments, criticisms, and affirmations from, so that in what's mirrored back to us, we can always see the truth of our life. After the break, Hugh Warmenhoven from Alpha Australia. Hugh's going to talk about a new and better paradigm for evangelising in today's circumstances. Hugh says, rather than imposing the kerygma, it's all about proposing the three great questions of faith, life, and meaning. Where do you belong? What do you believe? And who do you want to become? That's after the break. But right now, here's Phillips, Craig, and Dean, and There Is a God. Faith, hope, love, and life. My name's Max Norden, sitting in this week for Jude Hennessy. And you're still on the journey.
If there is a God who holds the whole world in his hand, then where were you when mine came crashing down? If there is a God who tells the sun and the stars where to shine, then where were you when all the lights went out? These are the questions from a heart desperate to know just where you are. Right now I can't see you, but I'm choosing to believe there is a God who never left me. Hearing the hurting, you're still with me. You have carried me this far, and you won't stop now. Oh, there is a God who sees my sorrows, catches my tears in a bottle. You're still working even when I can't see how. There is pain, there is broken, there is hurt, but he's hope I'm standing on. There is a God who promises me he has a plan, and I'm protected by his hand through flood and fire. Hey. And there is a God who's working all things for my good, sometimes slower than I think he should, but his ways are higher. So I'm looking forward to the day when I see the purpose for this pain. Oh, but until I do, I'm choosing to be.
Faith, hope, love, and life. This is The Journey.
And now, here's Hugh from Alpha Australia.
The paradigm is shifting. Have you felt it? I'm talking about how the church is shifting in its approach to evangelization from a paradigm of behave, believe, belong to belong, believe, become. What does this even mean? I mean, I believe that this shift is not necessarily about the what, but the how. How the timeless message is being proclaimed in our time. The timeless truth hasn't changed. It's what we would call the kerygma, that God loves, that Christ saves, that he is alive, and with the Holy Spirit, I too am alive. But how do we propose this faith, this truth on those in our lives? Where do you even begin to explore these three great questions of faith, life, and meaning? Where do you belong? What do you believe? And who do you want to become? The belong, believe, become paradigm presumes that all can belong to the body of Christ by virtue of their humanity. Genesis tells us that humanity was created to be in perfect union with God and belong to him, for we are his creation. I mean, Paul goes on and greets the church in Rome by saying, "You who are called to belong to Jesus Christ." Belief is not a prerequisite to belonging. Belonging is actually a calling that demands a response. This response comes from an encounter with Christ, and what better place to encounter him than in his body, the church? Which leads itself to the second question. To believe is to have the faith and to declare Christ's life, death, and resurrection. To believe is to profess that we are created out of love, for a life of love lived with our God of love. For you see, God created the world out of love for us, seeking us to be in relationship with him. By this relationship, you have been created in his image and likeness. But throughout our lives, we have all broken that relationship of love with God. We've all experienced the devastating consequences of this broken relationship. And in Jesus, we encounter God, the mercy, the love, the healing of God. For through his death and resurrection, our sins are forgiven by perfect love, and we are drawn back into communion with God. So this is the answer to the third question. To become means to live in this fullness of life. How? Well, it's through building, through cultivating, through living our relationship with him and understanding our vocation, the deepest calling of God on our lives. Today, may you seek with open hearts, open minds, God's perfect love. May you realize that you have been created out of love for a life of love. And may you belong, believe, and become.
Hope you're enjoying the show. I'm Max Norden, sitting in this week for Jude Hennessy, who's been so busy for the last week and all over this weekend, helping run a couple of major events at the Mount Carmel Retreat Center at Varaville. Thanks there to Hugh Warmenhoven from Alpha 2 and his spot that he called Belong, Believe, Become, using three simple questions to help develop our relationship with Jesus and put some true meaning back into our life. Where do you belong? What do you believe? Who do you want to become? By the way, if you've liked any of our segments or the whole show this weekend, you can share it with others. Just go to jcr.org.au and use any of the segment links to share with your friends. You can go back through all our past shows and past segments and check them out. Just go to jcr.org.au. Coming up after the break, Father Dave Callahan from the Missionaries of God's Love, and he's going to round out the show for us, picking up on today's gospel message on love. Father Dave says that whenever we do an act of love, the other person must immediately respond in some way which will be interpreted as either acceptance or rejection of the love that's been offered. As Father Dave says, love always demands a response from us. That's after the break. Let's get into some more music. Here's Jen Johnson and The Goodness of God. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Max Norden, sitting in this week for Jude Hennessy. We're getting towards the end, but you're still on the journey.
I love you, Lord. just like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. Yeah.
I'm Sharon from Theodore in ACT, and you're listening to Journey Catholic Radio.
Well, late one night she started to cry and thought he ain't coming home. She was tired of the lies, tired of the fight, but she didn't want to see him go. She fell on her knees and said, I haven't prayed since I was young, but Lord above, I need a miracle. Well, no matter who you are, and no matter what you've done, there will come a time when you can make it on your own. And in your hour of desperation, no, you're not the only one praying, Lord above, I need a miracle. I need a miracle. He lost his job and all he had in the fall of 09. Now he feared the worst, that he would lose his children and his wife. So he drove down to the woods and thought it ended all, and pray, Lord above, I need a miracle. Well, no matter who you are, and no matter what you've done, there will come a time when you can make it on your own. And in your hour of desperation, know you're
He turned on the radio to hear a song for the last time. He didn't know what he was looking for or even what he'd find. And the song he heard, it gave him hope and strength to carry on. And on that night, they found a miracle.
Together on the journey, faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness. Here are the missionaries of God's love with The Call.
One of the most amazing things about love is that it demands a response. Imagine a young man who runs up to a beautiful young woman, falls on his knees in front of her, and presents her with a dozen roses. He doesn't need to say anything. It is clear from this symbol that he is professing his love for her. Unless, of course, he starts pointing to the price tag, in which case he's probably trying to sell them to her. But if we assume for this moment that this is a statement of love, the girl is now placed in a very awkward position. She must make a response. And in fact, any movement she makes at this point will be interpreted as being her response. Sadly, in the case of the lovesick young man, anything short of a yes will probably be taken as a rejection. So the young girl needs to think very carefully about what she says at this moment. This becomes a decisive moment which cannot be put off for a more convenient time. This is always the case with love. Love always demands a response from us. This is something we need to reflect on in our relationship with God. We know that the cross is God's statement of love for us. But do you ever stop to think that perhaps Jesus is looking for you to give an answer? As though he is saying, "This is how much I love you, how much I will give for you. Will you love me back? Will you make a response, or will you just leave him hanging?" I'm Father Dave Callahan from the Missionaries of God's Love. Find out more about us at mglpriestsandbrothers.org.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. And age to age, he stands. We'll be right back.
How's that for an ending to Passions, How Great Is Our God? Recorded live and with the audience finishing it off so powerfully there with the chorus from How Great Thou Art. And before that, thank you to Father Dave Callahan for the call segment. Love always demands a response from us. And Father Dave says, this is something that we need to reflect on in our relationship with God. We know that the cross is God's statement of love for us, and Jesus is looking for us to give an answer, as though he's saying, this is how much I love you. Will you love me back? And Father Dave asks, will you make a response or will you leave him hanging? Thanks to all our contributors to the show this week, to Father Dave, Hugh Warmenhoven from Alpha, Trish McCarthy, Mother Hilda Scott, and back at the beginning, Father John Paul Eskelin. A special thanks to all our participating Christian community radio stations as well. We're just so excited and honoured to share the show with you all. And don't forget to support your local Christian community radio station. Let them know on their social media pages how much you enjoy listening to The Journey. They just love getting positive feedback from their listeners. So show them some love this week and give them some positive feedback. We'll be doing it all again next week. Hope you can join us then. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Max Norden, sitting in this week for Jude Hennessy while he's hosting the Men Alive weekend at Varaville this weekend, and Jude will be back next week. The Journey is produced in the office of the Bishop for the Catholic Diocese of Wollongong. Find out more about us at jcr.org.au.